Today's Holy Gospel is a most extraordinary event, the Transfiguration. Wait a minute. What's the Transfiguration? Isn't that what the Roman Catholics think about? No, that's transubstantiation. The Transfiguration, trans meaning a cross, to change, and figure is face, the being. The Transfiguration, a remarkable transformation that took place in the appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all mention the Transfiguration, and so the obvious question to ask is, why did this event take place? Well, let me give you the background to today's Gospel. In Luke chapters 8 and 9, the main issue of those chapters is, who is Jesus? And this is asked three times in these two chapters. Jesus has just walked on water and calmed a raging storm. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 25, the disciples ask the question, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. In Luke chapter 9, verses 7 through 9, Jesus and his disciples have been performing marvelous miracles, driving out demons and curing the sick. And this comes to the attention of a local ruler, Herod the Tetrarch. St. Luke records Herod in saying, I beheaded John. Who then is this that I hear such things about? And then in Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 20, Jesus is alone with his disciples at prayer and asks them this question. Who do the crowds say that I am? And they replied, well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. But what about you, Jesus asked? Who do you say that I am? And good old impetuous Peter, always first to jump, he answered, the Messiah of God. And that's why today's Holy Gospel begins strangely with the words, about 8 days after Jesus said this. And I knew you were probably thinking about that as, how does the Gospel start out with about 8 days after Jesus said this? I know my thoughts were, said what? And that's why I wanted to share with you what led up to this. And I believe that in today's Holy Gospel, God wanted to answer this question once and for all with simple and clear words. I'm going to ask you to open your pew Bibles to page 1612. And we'll begin with verse 35. God the Father speaks, saying, this is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. You heard me talk to the kids about this. Jesus took his three most trusted disciples, Peter, James, and John, to a mountain, which I believe to be Mount Hermon, right near Caesarea Philippi. Now, Caesarea Philippi is where Jesus asked those two questions. Who do the crowd say that I am? And who do you say that I am? And that was where, right near the Temple of Pan, a really pagan place, Jesus asked the question. And Peter proclaimed the truth that he was Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, at the Transfiguration, three significant events occurred. First, Jesus' human body appeared to change. It was transformed. His appearance was transformed. Moses and Elijah were the second thing. They appeared with him on the mountain. And third, God the Father audibly spoke to the disciples. And Scripture tells us, if you'll look at verses 28 and 29, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Wow. Great many words have been said about who Jesus is. But now God the Father himself reveals to all mankind something very visual about who Jesus is, his eternal glory. And God the Father gives his three disciples clear visual evidence of who Jesus truly is. He shows them the glory of his Christ, the glory of the Son of God. He shows them Jesus transfigured, bathed in dazzling white. Now, you heard Sam read just a few moments ago in today's Old Testament lesson from the book of Exodus how Moses witnessed the glory of God, and because of it, his face was absolutely shining. It was radiant, so much so that he had to put a veil across it when he spoke to people. And he took the veil off when he went in to speak with God. Just being near the glory of God was enough to cause Moses to glow and to have to wear that veil before others. Luke's gospel also tells us of heavenly visitors. Let's look at verses 30 and 31. Verse 30. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Pretty amazing. The Greek word for Jesus' departure that they were talking about is exodon. Does that sound familiar? You might recognize it because that's the word that we get Exodus from. And that's tying it together with the reading that we had today. In the Gospels, there are important reminders for us about the first Exodus, when Moses brought the children of Israel out of slavery of Egypt. And that Exodus was remembered each year by the killing of a Passover lamb. The new Exodus, the freeing of God's people from slavery of sin, would come with Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection in Jerusalem, so that we may be saved by the blood of the Lamb. It's pretty clear that Jesus is the Passover Lamb. Just a few moments, I'm going to, after the consecration, break the host and say, Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And your response is, therefore let us keep the feast. Alleluia. Now remember, on Wednesday and the weeks to come, we have to put away our alleluias. Because during Lent, no flowers, no alleluias. But God knows that we're rejoicing in our hearts. Amazing that our Passover lamb, the new Exodus, points to the Holy Scripture account of the first Exodus, and by whose precious blood we are saved. Moses and Elijah, they represent the law. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. After God the Father has spoken, Moses and Elijah simply disappear, and Jesus remains alone. You might say that the law and the prophets have done their purpose, and so they pass away. Now Jesus, who embodies the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets, remains as our sole source of salvation. Jesus is the one who fulfills the old covenant and brings to us the new covenant. On that mountain, that day, a new era was blossoming. The old covenant, represented by Moses and Elijah, was going to pass away, and the new covenant was going to come through the death and resurrection of Jesus. This new covenant of the relationship with Jesus and the partaking in that new covenant through his body and blood is the most precious gift we have, that we, as believers of Jesus, have been given. And finally, Luke's gospel says, while he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I've chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. God the Father simply says these words. This is my son whom I've chosen. Listen to him. Jesus, the only Son of God. In the world, and most certainly in the church today, the true identity of Jesus has become a somewhat divisive issue. Is Jesus the Son of God that God the Father proclaimed on the mountain that day? Or is he someone else? Is Jesus the one who required repentance for sin and then provided forgiveness? Or is he someone else? Is Jesus the one who sacrificed himself on the hard wood of the cross willingly so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life? Or is he someone else? Is Jesus someone who touched the hearts and cured bodies and souls of people who have faith in him? Or is he someone else? Is Jesus someone who came to fulfill the law and the prophets? Or is he someone else who turns a blind eye at the law that his father gave to Moses? Is Jesus someone who believes every word that is in the scriptures, the written word of God? Or is he someone else? Is Jesus someone who invites people to come to him and be transformed, never to be the same again, healed of affliction, disease, addictions, perversions, and sinful behavior? Or is he someone else who says, come to me and stay just as you are. Have fun and forget what my father said. That was about another time that has expired a long time ago. Sadly today, there are people who identify themselves as Christians who cannot or will not confess that Jesus is who God says he is. They'll either say, oh, he was a great prophet, a teacher, or even that he had great power that was used to lead us to our own divinity. My brothers and sisters in Christ, it comes down to this. You either accept the divinity of Christ, of Jesus Christ, as the only Son of God, who died on the cross for the atonement of our sins, or not. You believe in him and what the Bible says about him, or not. If you do believe in him, then you can call yourself a follower of Christ or a Christian. And if not, then you're following a different God altogether. Well, let's face it. You either believe what the Bible says or you don't. If you don't believe what the Bible says, then please call yourself something other than a Christian. And start living whatever truth it is that you do believe in. The Apostle John warns us of this kind of deception with these words from 2 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Be on your guard so that you do not lose what we have worked for, but may receive a full reward. Everyone who does not abide in the teaching of Christ, but goes beyond it, does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And if you have the Father and the Son, then you have the Holy Spirit. If you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and that God's holy word is true, then we leave it to Jesus and let him and God's word transform us in his ways. And not for us to transform Jesus or scripture to ours. There's only one truth. God has spoken. Jesus is his son. And we are to listen to him. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.